last year that received a lot of positive feedback and inspired this sermon. It's called When You Lose, You Gain. Maybe you lost a spouse. Maybe you lost a limb. Maybe you lost your health. Maybe you lost your job. You gain strength and knowledge when you lose something. You learn how to cope with loss. You make new friends who share your losses. When you lose, you gain. Maybe you discover new interests. You can no longer run, but you can do chair yoga. You can no longer backpack, but writing poetry appeals to you. The hole your spouse left is filled with new activities and interests. The extra time you spent recuperating from illness or injury, the time spent not working, you used to relax, to read, to contemplate life. When you lose, you gain. And I'm going to read it again because some people want to hear poems more than once. So this is called When You Lose, You Gain. Maybe you lost a spouse. Maybe you lost a limb. Maybe you lost your health. Maybe you lost your job. You gain strength and knowledge when you lose something. You learn how to cope with loss. You make new friends. You share your losses. When you lose, you gain. Maybe you discover new interests. You can no longer run, but you can do chair yoga. You can no longer backpack, but writing poetry appeals to you. The hole your spouse left is filled with new activities and interests. The extra time you have spent recuperating from illness or injury, the time spent not working, you used to relax, to read, to contemplate life. So, when you lose, you gain. I'm going to begin with my life experiences and then widen the scope to other friends and people I don't know. All the people whose stories I have included here have given permission to relate their information. For the past 35 years of my life, I have survived one health challenge after another, such as bipolar disorder, fibromyalgia, multiple sclerosis, and other less serious diseases. Throughout these health challenges, I've endured some terrible experiences, but I've also learned useful lessons from some of them. I started writing poetry around 1994 to explore and cope with my emotions and experiences. Over the years, my poems have changed. They become less personal and more general as my health has changed. Due to my own experiences, I can relate to others' problems with greater compassion. In dealing with my health problems, I've become more adept in learning about medical issues, and I've been able to resolve problems that doctors may not be able to. The benefit of dealing with illness is that I've learned many non-medical ways to deal with them, such as EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, acupressure, self-massage, meditation, guided imagery, taking of nutritional supplements, making changes in my diet, and my latest is using CBD products for pain relief. I use a combination of Western and non-Western medicine. One benefit of having multiple sclerosis is that I discovered I'm an excellent fundraiser, as people here know. I was in the top 10 of the fundraisers for Northern California in 2017 and 2018 for Walk MS, and this church donated a lot for that. Another benefit is I have a ready-made excuse for forgetting things that is not related to early Alzheimer's, and dropping things that is not related to being clumsy, although I may be clumsy. I find I have developed an inner strength which allows me to keep going when life is difficult. One personal story of gain after an illness has to do with my walking the Beta Breakers. It's a famous San Francisco race in which some people run and some people walk. In November of 1991, I had been in the hospital and lost a lot of strength. When I came out of the hospital, I was living in Tiburon, and I started a walking program to get stronger. I began with walking half a block and added a little more distance every day. At some point, I had the thought of walking the Beta Breakers. I don't know why I thought I should do this, but I decided to do it. And the Beta Breakers is 7.46 miles long. So I registered for the race, and I started increasing the distance of my walk. And May 1992, which soon arrived, and I took the bus to San Francisco for the race. I didn't wear a costume like some people do, studs. I just, you know, had athletic shorts and t-shirt. I walked the route with thousands of other people, and I barely made it to the finish line. I was one of the last racers, and I was totally exhausted at the end. But I made it, and that was a major accomplishment. I rested at the finish area a while, and then I had to go back to Golden Gate Park where they hand out the food and the t-shirts, and they have music and so on. By the time I reached the designated area, they only had extra large t-shirts. So now the only place I can wear my Beta Rakers t-shirt is in bed. Plus, there wasn't any food left. But I stayed in the meadow a while, and I made my way back to Marin. Later in the mail, they sent me a photo of me with my race bib, so that is the proof of the race. And I'll hold this up so you can be able to see it. So I'd gone from being totally bedridden to walking the Beta Breakers, and that was a major gain. Unfortunately, I've never walked that distance yet. So that's about me for now, and I'm going to speak of others who gained from their losses. One of our UUCM members, who also has MS, was diagnosed in her 20s and went to using a wheelchair. This is Cher, who's with us today. She soon became involved in wheelchair sports and other sports she could do from a seated position. This included hand cycling, tennis, kayaking, river rafting, sailing, and skiing. She also became a gourmet cook and had her kitchen remodeled to accommodate her wheelchair. I and many other UUCM members can vouch for her cooking skills. A woman I met in my YMCA exercise class that I'm taking now had previously sustained a major back injury, and she rehabbed herself through exercise and water walking at the YMCA. She says she's now in better shape than she was before her injury and has made many new friends in the YMCA, and she says she's happier now. A man named Doug wrote an article for an MS newsletter that was titled 29 Reasons I'm Thankful for Having MS. And he said I could quote from that. So I picked out four of the reasons that appealed to me and that I might choose for myself. So number one, because of MS, I may be weaker outside, but I'm stronger inside. MS has given me the focus to reshape priorities and discover new attainable goals in life. MS has taught me to channel my limited energy for positive outcomes. Because life moves so fast, MS has required me to slow down, allowing to enjoy each moment. Doug says he realizes his MS will not go away. MS is resilient, so he must be resilient in the fight against it. Thus, he has changes in thought, heart, and perspective. And for that, he is very thankful. Widows often find new activities after their spouse has died when they're relieved of the time taking care of a sick loved one. After my mother, who is visiting today, lost her husband, my stepdad, she became much more active in the UU Church in Portland, where she had been a member. She's now a lay minister and active in other ways. So from her loss, other members have gained from her caring nature and her skills. And she has gained a renewed purpose in her life. After disasters such as a fire, earthquake, or flood, there's many losses. But occasionally something good can come from it, like a new house or moving to a new area. Parts of a city might be rebuilt, like New Orleans, and may be much improved after the disaster. I could go on for a long time about survivors of this. Every day I read articles on Facebook about people who survived cancer or an illness or disaster and go on to do something spectacular with their lives. But why were all these people, including myself, able to turn their losses into gains? I started researching and came up with resilience. Our MS support group had a guest speaker who spoke about resilience and gave us an MS manual for covering it, which talked about the reasons for it and the tools to build it. Some of the techniques I use, which are mentioned in the booklet, are keeping a gratitude journal. I write something positive that happened each day before going to bed, even though sometimes it's really hard to find something. Exercise each day, including stretching, swimming, walking, taking exercise classes. I do short periods of meditation, and I try to look for the positive. Whenever I get frustrated or angry because I've dropped something, or my hands can't do the right task, or I've misplaced something, or I've left my apartment without some crucial item, I often recite a Buddhist mantra. And this says, may I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. And I often say that many times during the day. Psychology Today says, resilience is that ineffable quality that allows some people to be knocked down by love, by life, and come down stronger than ever. Rather than letting failure overcome them and drain their resolve, they find a way to rise from the ashes, literally, with our northern neighbors. Psychologists have identified some of the factors that make somebody resilient. Among them, a positive attitude, optimism, the ability to regulate emotions, the ability to see failure as a form of helpless feedback. Even after misfortune, resilient people are blessed with such an outlook that they are able to change course and soldier on. So how do people deal with these difficult events that change their lives? The death of a loved one, the loss of a job, a serious illness, loss of our house or business due to a disaster, terrorist attack, other traumatic events. These are all examples of very challenging life experiences. Many people react to such experiences with a flood of strong emotions and a sense of uncertainty. Yet generally, people adapt well over time to life-changing situations and stressful conditions. What enables them to do so? It involves resilience, that word again, an ongoing process that requires time and effort and engages people in taking a number of steps. Those who are resilient are able to believe in themselves and their ability to effectively manage life's challenges. Those who see a stressful event as a challenge or a problem to be solved tend to be more resilient. Those who see it as a threat, they respond instead by retreating or avoiding the problem and thus demonstrate less resilience. Also, those who are more resilient than others tend to be more proactive and more inclined to work hard to prevent certain issues and illnesses from occurring. Mental resources like determination, self-worth, and kindness are some of the things that make us resilient, able to cope with adversity and push through challenges. The key to developing lasting resilience is knowing how to turn passing experiences into lasting inner resources built into your brain. And this is what neuropsychologist Rich Hanson called positive neuroplasticity. A resilient person has thus been tested by adversity and continues to demonstrate adaptive psychological and physiological stress responses, or psychological allostasis, which is also stability. So people can actually train themselves to be resilient. And there's a lot of websites out there that tell people how to do this. And so I just took this list from Psychology Today. It's just a nice sort of simple list. So some suggestions to encourage a sense of resiliency include, one, being flexible and realizing that change is just a part of life. Two, making realistic plans. Three, maintaining a positive attitude. Four, keeping channels of communication open with yourself and others. Five, reminding yourself of strategies that have helped you cope in the past and using them again. Seven, being mindful of methods of self-discovery. Eight, encouraging and journaling to record your feelings. Finding a way to manage stress and impulses. Nine, making important connections. 10, being decisive. And 11, using creative visualization techniques. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm using some of these techniques myself. And now I try to look up some of the science behind resilience, and I'm trying to do it in a way that's not too difficult, like more simple. So, physiological resilience has been associated with an individual's flexibility in his or her neurochemical stress response systems and the neural circuitry involved in stress responses. While no one gene or gene variation explains resilience, genetic factors do play an important role in determining how an individual responds to stress and trauma. So recent work in the field of behavioral genetics has demonstrated that genetic makeup can influence resilience. through an impact on neurochemical pathways, which include hypothalamic pituitary, adrenal axis, which includes cortisol, serotonergic, which includes serotonin, and pathway that includes dopamine, and one that includes glutamine, a amino acid, and also neurotrophin and brain protein. So there's now scientific evidence that neurobiological systems associated with resilience can be strengthened to respond more adaptively to stress. For example, they've done research using EEG and functional MRI technology to show that mindfulness, meditation, and training and cognitive reappraisal can increase activation of the left prefrontal cortex, which is the front part of your brain. And this is important because people who have greater activation of the left prefrontal cortex recover more rapidly from negative emotions like fear and anger and disgust. And research has also shown that aerobic exercise can be important, and it can increase hippocampal volume. And aerobic exercise can also raise the serum levels of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is a protein which enhances the growth of brain cells, prolongs cell survival, and repairs damaged nerve cells. It also increases spatial memory. So studies have shown that more physically active subjects show lower cortisol and sympathetic nervous system responses to physiological laboratory stress compared to less physically active subjects. So both exercise and mindfulness training can help increase resilience. And other things besides genetics and physiological things that can increase resilience and affect resilience are social, economic, and past personal history. The social effects can have to do with the support that a person has. Someone with more support might recover from an event faster than someone without support. And there's economic effects, such as someone who lost their homes in the fires in 2017 and recently, but cannot afford to rebuild, might have a harder time recovering from the loss than someone who can afford to build a new house. And a person's past personal history can affect the resilience of a person in two ways. When a person has had a lot of past traumas or disasters in their background that they have survived, they can use these things to cope with another loss. But on the other hand, if they had to cope with one more problem on top of everything else, some people just cannot handle that. So for me, I think having survived so many medical problems and other problems has basically made me more able to cope with my MS today. And researchers have developed tools to measure an individual's resilience. And one of them is called the Resilience Factor Inventory. It's a 60-item long questionnaire, and it basically assesses 7 personality characteristics that contribute to resilience. So one is being able to control your emotions when you're under pressure, exercising control over your impulses and behaviors, accurately identifying the true cause of your adversity, believing you can solve problems and be successful, which is very, very important, staying positive about the future while still being realistic, showing empathy towards others and developing relationships, thinking positively and embracing challenges and opportunities. I can identify some of these characteristics in myself, but I would have to say I have problems with the first 2 of them. I found the following words from a song by Mary Gregolia, which is in our hymnal, very apropos to the topic of resilience. So that's why I put the photo of a rose on the front of our order of service. And we're not going to sing it, but this is the words. I know this rose will open. I know my fear will burn away. I know my soul will unfurl its wings. I know this rose will open. And I've always liked that song. In summary, those who lose and then gain are termed resilient. And resilience can be cultivated and can have biological causes and components. I believe I've developed some resilience, which is helping me cope with life today. And in closing, if life hands you lemons, big or small, make a big pitcher of lemonade and share it with the world. Blessed be.